If you place a thing in the center of your life that lacks the power to nourish, it will eventually poison everything that you are and destroy you. As simple a thing as an idea or your perspective on yourself or the world. No one can be the source of your content. It lies within, in the center.
Only with mellow are you thin enough to slide through. Only with mellow are you thin enough to slide through.
Don't let nothing ride you.
If the sun or the moon should give way to doubt,
they would immediately go out.
One swallow don't make a summer, but tomorrow has to start.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the listener-supported broadcast where you, the listener, can actually, you know, donate to keep it on the air and whatnot. My very special guests joining me now are Jerry and Kathy Wells. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Vinnie. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have started a new network and doing a whole bunch of things, as you always do. So could you just give us a wee bit of an update about what you guys have been happening?
Yeah, of course. Well, what we did recently, we started a new network called Channel U. And it's at channel-u.com. And basically, the idea that started this was sprung from the concept that we wanted to be our own independent broadcasters, not really affiliated with any other service. A lot of times these services charge you money, and sometimes they can be undependable. And then you have limitations, and we didn't want any limitations. We wanted to just do it ourselves. So we investigated how it's done, and within a couple of weeks we had a server up and outfitted and ready to broadcast. And it's been kind of on autopilot off and on. We do our own shows, of course, on Friday nights. But aside from that, we've just got it up and running, and we're just now starting to populate it.
And what's your objective here? I mean, are you wanting to create like a full-on network, producing shows, live, that kind of thing?
Yeah, live and archived. You know, we have friends, people that we know who have really interesting shows, like yourself. And we felt that, you know, we do have an audience. We have an audience all over the world. I was the associate host for the Kevin Smith Show for a few years. And with Expeditions TV and all that we're doing, we have people all over the world who are interested. So we figured if we did this, then we would see if some of our friends wanted to come in and just broadcast their shows on there too, you know, just as a service.
And what actually motivated you to really like kind of jump the chasm and go ahead and start doing this? I mean, it must have been on your mind for quite a while.
You know, after Kevin passed away a couple of years ago, I really felt a void. I liked being on the radio. I liked doing this kind of thing. But I didn't have the inclination to do it, because it is a lot of work. And the way Kevin did it was 5 nights a week, 2 hours every night, required a huge amount of time and effort, which I just didn't have. So I decided eventually that I'd like to do a show, and it really just led to this. We did a show on another network for a while, and I got used to it. I started really enjoying it. And there were issues. So I thought, you know, I'll just do this myself. If there are any issues, it's because of me, not because of anything beyond these walls. And that's how we started it.
I'd like to also see what you guys are up to just in your general career, because last time I had you on was in 2013, and we were talking about these stargates and ley lines and your experiences with those. I mean, are there any documentaries in the works or new stuff that you've got happening?
Actually, there is. Last year, we were down in South America. We had wanted to go down for quite a number of years to document this thing that we had found in the year 2000. It's something we call the Doomsday Stone. It's not what the locals call it. They don't know what to call it. It's just a piece of rock sticking out of the top of a mountain. But it had these really odd petroglyphs on it. And the more we studied it over the 13 years, the more we came to realize there was really a story there. So we wanted to go back and document the story of finding it and so forth. What we didn't know at the time, and until 13 years later, it became a very poignant thing for us to go after, was that something happened to the Earth, like 1,500 years ago, roughly. And it was a hell of a story. It was something that changed the course of civilization. So this stone seemed to link itself to these events that took place. And what I'm talking about here is a celestial event. It was a comet that passed close to the Earth. So when we started putting what was on this stone, the hieroglyphs on this stone, to those events, they seemed to match up. Kathy did a lot more research and started finding other very strange, anomalous things that happened at about the same time that had never been associated with this thing that had happened in Europe. So the story began to unfold. We went down, spent 45 days, and during that time we completely documented, of course, the Doomsday Stone. And then we went on to Bolivia, where we'd been following a story for about 5 years about a human footprint that had been found, and it was very obscure. No one knew really where it was at, and at least no one was talking. It was a closely held secret. One afternoon, while we were really hiding out in the jungle after some encounters with the Shining Path and narco traffickers, we were kind of laying low. That's a story in itself. But she was doing her research, and she came across an obscure passage in a blog in Portugal about this footprint, and it spelled out pretty much where to go looking for it. So we took off to Bolivia and climbed a mountain. It was right up on top of this mountain, apparently. So we went up there. Well, long story short, someone had gotten there ahead of us, sawed it out of the rock strata, and it was gone. But not to be too disappointed, Kathy climbed around the edges of the mountain, climbed over the top of it, and finally found two more footprints that no one knew existed. So she was able to locate two more human footprints that are in excess of 2 million years old. It's a mountain about, 15,000 feet high now.
Footprints that are millions of years old?
Yeah, human footprints. It's really quite a thing. We thought that we'd made history, but the world largely ignored the discovery.
What are the implications of that? I mean, do people know exactly how long humans have been around and where and when, settlement, that kind of thing? I mean, does this fly in the face of something?
Oh, yeah, it flies in the face of conventional archaeology because most everyone you talk to, unless it's Michael Cremo or some of the fringe archaeologists, they will say, well, humans have been around for maybe 100, 150,000 years. And they cite all kinds of references that will support what they have to say. But there are those who believe that that's an improper figure. And there's, of course, emerging evidence that it's much older than that. So to find a footprint that is in excess of 2 million years old is contradictory to what science will accommodate, and probably why it was largely ignored.
Well, because it's unbelievable.
Well, there were some footprints found in England that were on a shoreline there. The water had eroded the shoreline enough to where these many, dozens of footprints, human footprints, had been found, and they were, I've forgotten now how old they were, but they were maybe a couple hundred thousand years old, as I recall. And I got a hold of the lead archaeologist and asked him, because he was making the claim, these are the oldest footprints of humans that have ever been found on Earth. So I got a hold of him, and I said, well, what about that one in Bolivia? No, that isn't real. Well, I didn't even bother telling him that we found two more. So, you know, regular science isn't going to accommodate this.
Well, does that mean that there's something wrong with science in general because they don't follow the scientific method anymore, which is you look at the evidence, you evaluate it, come up with a hypothesis, try to disprove it, and then accept the results without fear or favor?
Well, that's how it's supposed to work. But
I've always been curious as to when this corruption of the scientific method actually began, or has it always been there kind of thing?
You know, I don't know when it started, but it certainly is, you know, it certainly does have a tight grip on things now. And we really don't know why. I mean, there are things like the bones of giants that were found in northern Arizona through Utah into New Mexico and other places. I mean, there's not just this particular region in the States. But these giants had double row sets of teeth, had long red hair. They were, I don't know, 3 meters tall or taller. Doesn't exist. And if you were to find one, funny enough, you would go to jail and be fined $25,000 for having disturbed it. So we had to call off our search for that. But, you know, there are certain dynamics in the world of archaeology that are supposed to remain constant and uninterrupted. And I don't know why. It really, really boggles my mind because it isn't in line with scientific inquiry at all. It's basically more like a religion than anything else.
Well, I found government indoctrination works exactly the same way. If you can prevent the people from having an attachment to their history and their culture and their ancestors, you can control them because you get to make up whatever you want in order to fill in those gaps. And naturally, the gap gets filled with, by the way, you should be subservient to us.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I don't think it's something as particular to your area or ours. It's more of a worldwide thing now. You know, we were just recently in Greece, and in Greece there was this this grain called zea that, you know, it was used by the Spartans, the Grecians in these ancient times. And, you know, you've seen probably Spartacus or the 300 or any of these, and these people were fantastic warriors. Well, part of their diet was eating zea. The nice thing about zea is that it doesn't have any gluten in it, and they figured the gluten, you know, the regular wheat was for animals. It wasn't for people. And gluten clouds the mind. They themselves say that regular wheat causes your mind to become fuzzy. Can't think straight. Well, and here they are now. It's illegal to grow zea in Greece. So go figure.
How interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very strange. Even the grains that they were eating. What's that, Cap? Well, you control the food, you control the people. And we see evidence of that even now in our own cultures, yours and ours as well. And over in Europe, too.
Thank you, Monsatan.
Yeah, Monsatan is right.
I have a big banner that says Moron Santo. Because if you're supporting those guys, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah,
I can't even get over it. Hey, and in fact, another interesting theory I came across, I made up, was about smoking. You know, how there's like this big agenda to stop people from smoking and all over the place. Oh, it's bad for your health, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Native Americans called it the thinking herb. And I just came up with a conspiracy theory. This might be why they're trying to curb smoking cigarettes, because when you go out to have a ciggy, you've got some time to think about stuff. And they don't really want people to be thinking about stuff in this new age. But
no. And you're absolutely right. The use of tobacco is historic, and it goes back a very long way. The same thing with marijuana. You know, what we call marijuana is actually cannabis. It was used for thousands of years. It was used as a medicine for thousands of years. But if you try to use it now in most countries, you know, and I've run into people with different disabilities, different diseases, cancer, for example, you know, the people with skin cancer is another example. Cannabis can help that, but regardless of what it might be able to do, if it's not part of the regular drug kingdom, the drug regime, then it's illegal, illicit, and you're not supposed to do it because, well, we told you you can't. And to me, that's like having a bully big brother, actually big brother, stepbrother, who slaps you around all the time and you can't get away from because you live in the same house with them. Not that I ever did, but that's just how I see it.
Well, it seems to me kind of like a bad and lazy parent, you know? They can't even bother explaining anything to their kids because they're just basically full of crap and they're just making it up as they go along because they don't know how to parent a child properly, you know, to help them. Right. And instead, it just kind of becomes about, you know, dominating them a little bit, not really explaining things fully, just so that, you know, they can continue on their normal adult life without the advent of children who are irritating to them. Why do I have to do that, Mommy?
Because I said so.
That's enough reason, isn't it?
Yeah. I always think of that, like, that's what the state does. That's what every establishment and anything with a hierarchical control structure does predominantly in order to keep people in line. Basically, you eliminate the need for explanation by having authority. And then if you've got authority, you don't have any need for justification of what you do. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Hey, you nailed it. That's exactly right.
The hell is the point in that? Where's humanity going?
Well, down the toilet, I'd say.
Yeah, flushed like the turd city it is. I do believe that this is something worthy of note and discussion because I was just thinking about I was out on the deck yesterday, just standing in the sun, and I was considering how my show kind of works, how I'm like making jokes and covering all these different eclectic topics and things like that. And I don't follow any mainstream media. I don't listen to mainstream radio. I don't read the newspaper. I'm not following blogs and articles and things of that nature. I'm kind of like a leaf on the wind, informationally speaking. But my philosophy is if I haven't heard it before, then it's news to me.
Yeah. Well, then that's us too. We don't watch the news. We don't listen to other radio, really. I mean, we listen to you once in a while because we really like your show. Dave Hodges is another good one we listen to. But a lot of folks are going, did you listen to Coast to Coast or did you listen to this or that? No, I didn't. I don't really have time. I'm busy. The ones I listen to are really specific and because I really enjoy them. But I guess by and large, in that respect, we are somewhat uninformed by the programming medias, maybe we're better off for it, I would hope.
Well, I think it was either Thomas Jefferson or Mark Twain that said this. It says, those who read nothing at all are uninformed. Those who read nothing but newspapers are misinformed.
That's good. I'll have to remember that.
Well, when it comes down to it, understanding the world around us is not an easy thing, and anybody who thinks that they've got it all figured out, like, I know everything, is somebody who obviously knows nothing. and the rest of the people are like, well, I don't know what's going on. They apparently know enough.
Yeah, well, and that's the truth. And sometimes, you know, too much information is just that, too much. I think a lot of times when you watch things like CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all these, you hear all these different viewpoints, but what I've noticed by and large is that they end up having a few people on there, usually with dissenting opinions, differing opinions, and it just becomes a shouting match. And I think this is kind of a reflection on what the mentality of the world has become. Most everything that I see seems to be geared towards the lowest common denominator of the cultural inhabitants of this world. Whether it's in your country, our country, or wherever, it is taking the lowest common denominator and exploiting that as though that is what everyone is, and this is how everyone acts. And of course, those people in that category will take a look and think, well, it's okay that I act like that now. whether it's TV commercials or the news or TV shows. All this stuff is just becoming very strange to me.
Well, it's like follow the leader, and a lot of my friends are round about roughly twice my age or more, and they always use these phrases like back in my day or back in the day or in those days and such because they've lived a number of decades longer than I, and they've experienced a lot more changes than I have in my short lifespan currently. And it seems to me that what has happened is we've all become out of touch with our history, unless you've really lived through it. And so you kind of have to keep reminding people that this is not the way it always was. People weren't always this dumb. People weren't always this easy to manipulate. The Department of War wasn't always called the Department of Defense. Bacon and eggs wasn't always seen as a good breakfast. You know, that kind of thing. And people are unable or unwilling, at least, to understand that there is a difference throughout the time that we spend here between how people have been in the past and how they are now. And nobody who I've spoken to who's older than me, who's experienced things, has told me that people have gotten any brighter, or that people have gotten any more caring, or that people have become any more radically informed, even since the internet.
No, I agree with you completely, and that's absolutely a correct statement. If anything, people have become more isolated and less caring and more opinionated about things that they don't know a damn thing about except what they heard on the news. They don't have an opinion of their own.
I made a joke the other day. It says, if you won't be a listener of mine for long if you take yourself too seriously, because I'm sooner or later going to make a joke about it and you'll hate me for it.
Well, yeah, that's someone that's short-sighted, I'm sure.
Well, and again, we were talking about appealing to the lowest common denominator, and I think that's really the difference with this show. Is I'm not trying to get the masses behind me and things of that nature, namely because I don't believe the masses have ever really changed anything. The masses get changed by small minorities, not the other way around.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, take a look at what Gandhi did. He one person and changed the way people think just because of what he did and how he acted.
There's an old phrase, never underestimate the ability of a small, determined minority to change the world. In truth, it's the only thing that ever has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly correct. You know, you nailed it. And I think that's what it's going to take now. I have a feeling that there will be a time when people are going to take a step back collectively, and they're going to see why some of these folks are happier or doing the things they're doing, and they're going to ask why. And the answer they're going to come up with is because they were thinking freely. They weren't influenced by external forces or fooled by the media.
And, of course, this means that we have a responsibility to replace the media in and of itself, because they're no longer relevant.
No, you're right. I mean, a lot of folks I've talked to, of course, they're in the same mindset as we are, but they all feel that it no longer is talking to them in a way to where information is really going to be provided in a form that you can give it some serious thought. The media is basically telling you what to think and when to think it. And that's totally wrong, because if the media is controlled, then it's nothing more than a propaganda machine. And that's what I think, and a lot of folks are thinking, has happened. I have a friend, not naming names or circumstances, so just take it as, you know, for what it's worth. But I've been told by him that there are no stories that go on the news unless it's approved from higher up. And higher up means people that are in charge of making sure that only the news that they want out there is broadcast on public domains and public TV. Part of the issue is, if they wanted to sell you a new truck, how many people are going to feel like buying a damn new truck or car after they see some story that is destructive, disturbing, or disabling? Nobody. So they have the commercials planned out in relation to what the storyline is in the news. That's how it works. If you watch the news, you'll see. The news is going to be propagated in such a way that it supports the commercials or the attitude you have before the commercial comes on.
Yeah, like if it bleeds, it leads. Like, let's say the top story is somebody who gets hit by a pickup truck or something like that and gets dragged 100 meters and then finally gets crushed to death. And then cut to commercial. Buy the new Dodge pickup truck. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, you didn't get one? It's a drag, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for, not to drag it out any further than it needs to. Jerry and Kathy Wells, can you please quote us your website so people can go and find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. There are two to pay attention to. One is Expeditions TV, spelled an X, XPEDITIONS.TV. The other is our new network, Channel U. It's channel-u.com, and that's where you'll find me on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be back right after the break.